This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Kenny and Dolly, A Christmas to Remember, is sponsored by Beatrice. We've been a part of your family's holidays for years, and now we wish you the most peaceful and satisfying holiday season ever. Beatrice, you've known us all along.
Jane Seymour in Le Jardin de Max Factor.
They say romance is back in style. I say it never went out. Le Jardin says it too. It says it subtly. It says it softly. Because if you want romance to come on strong, you have to come on soft.
Le Jardin de Max Factor, the incurably romantic fragrance.
It is November 1988. Anna Wintour starts her editorship at Vogue. The Cosmo cover is one sassy job fair model, Jill Goodacre. Cher launches her new fragrance, Uninhibited, and the science journal Mademoiselle asks, might electrolysis give you AIDS? But you don't care too much about all that because someone, and you're not sure who, got a hold of your Kokomo remix and sent it to Rockin' Rick and the Ding Dong Crew at the local radio station, which is either KWFZ or WKFZ. It's hard to remember. Anyways, it's the talk of the town now. Everyone loved it and praised it universally for both its ingenuity and listenability. Yes, everyone really loved that. Maybe you should turn the radio on right now and see if it's playing. Wouldn't it be nice to relive that moment you first created it? Wouldn't it?
No,
as
no.
You reach for the power button, you remember you promised your best friend Amy that you'd join her on her mission to infiltrate the local Mennonite community and learn about their valuable secrets. Good thing the latest issue seems to have a fashion spread all about that. Looks like it's time to...
Listen to Sassy!
Yeah, people were mad in the Discord. Our Patreons were upset. Well, let's talk about the November 1988 fashion stuff, guys. Let's start with our cover. I guess they tried a different photographer for the October cover and said, no thank you, and ran back into the arms of Andrew Southam. He's back. We've got Wendy from Washington State. She's very insistent in her little blurb on the About Face page to let us know she's a big smart smarty and that modeling is just a sideline.
I just fell into it.
I just was professionally good looking. She's in a fringed suede jacket and a dumb hat with a dumb feather because the late 80s.
What a dumb hat. The feathers are so dumb that I had not noticed just how dumb that hat goes on. It's a wilted bucket hat.
And not the last we're going to see in this issue. So perhaps we should move on. We are moving on to our first fashion feature, The Country Girl, which seems like a setup for a very rude joke. But no, it's just a bunch of extremely blah outfits that reminded me a lot of holidaying, actually, where it's just like, I don't know, we're outside, here's some clothes, whatever. Like, the theming on this is very light.
Yeah, they all look like, you got a job, get some clothes.
Yes.
Some basics, some slacks.
You got a job / time to raise ye barn.
There's one in the middle. Like the girl sitting on the car in the pants, compare, it's not necessarily friends with the woman welcoming us to her dairy farm.
You'll see it in the visual aids, which we do for every issue, but this is truly all over the map. On page 32, there's a Chiron that says, confident, which are we? And it just, I think I called it in our socials, the okay Gatsby look is not it.
The caption casual next to Kelly McGillis or whatever her name is from Witness and standing in front of her barn.
Just casual. Just keeping it cash.
Just keeping it cash with my thick white collar.
Mm-hmm. Pam, you're so right. It's the you got a job. Here's some office clothes to wear while you're photocopying things for your work study. You're going to look appropriate, but you're not going to stand out. And no one is going to remember your name. They're going to be like, Nora? No, it's Laura in these clothes.
Do you ever use a dog as a napkin to wipe your face off?
What is this? What is that? Is that what she's doing?
Yeah, she's picking up this little flight wuffy dog, just getting all the rib sauce off of her mouth that she just, you know, she just has some barbecue and she puts the dog down. It runs away, starts to lick itself, and, you know, she's ready to go.
On page 28 and page whatever the hell, she's got the dog up again.
Yeah,
the 30. Dog is in the exact same place on her chin. So I assume it's just hiding a blemish of some kind. That's a pimple pup.
Yeah.
I read a lot of Sassy, so I know a lot of the BTS about these kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
That you get a zit cat or a pimple pup.
It's Dr. Pimple Pupper.
Andy McDonald had a farm. Why do you sing it, Dave? It's so great. E-I-E-I. Oh, is it raining? I hadn't noticed. Our next fashion feature has a pun I'm going to give to them because it's easily swayed.
That's not bad.
And I totally would have named a recap that. It's not bad. It's not bad. This is a short spread of suede. And I can't imagine ever seeing a genuine friend of mine appear in any of these things. And the only one that's super cute at the end. None of my friends would have been able to afford this super cute jacket at the end.
Mm-hmm. The one that I like but could never pull off is the fringe jacket from the cover, because there are two kinds of people in the world, people who can pull off fringe and people who can't, and I am the latter, but I always think people who can get away with it look really good. The problem in the middle of the story, I can't believe we've taken this long to come to it, is our girl on page 47 in chaps.
Some real suede chaps.
She's just in chaps, like that's a normal thing to do. There's no horse. They're in a studio. She's not about to go riding. She's like, okay, I'll put them on, but do not show my face, even though I think it's only the one model for the whole thing. But it's just like her butt and her legs to just below her knees, looking like... looking real dumb.
Even you know they're chaps, your brain still says, oh, they're pants, but somebody cut out the butt.
Right.
I mean, not that it's like the utility of chaps. It's that like you had actual pants that you bought with your own money, mm-hmm. and somehow the butt fell out of them in the wash. You know, like socks go missing, the butt went missing. That said, I did know one girl in her high school did on occasion wear chaps.
Tell me everything.
Well,
was she in FFA or something?
I don't know what that means.
That's not what it's called in Canada. Future Farmers of America.
Oh, I see. Pretty sure she had been held grade or two back before she got to our high school. Mm-hmm. So she was a little bit older.
Okay.
And she was very friendly with all the boys.
Got it.
And wore a lot of makeup.
She was a working cowboy or Samantha Fox? I genuinely don't understand.
No, she was a rodeo clown. Aren't you paying attention?
I was like, was she lead up board? Oh, she was a rodeo
kind
clown.
Of, she kind of had that look.
Okay.
Kind of like that dirty blonde, wavy, messy hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had a reputation.
Sure.
Well, I'm into her. Yeah, she sounds great. Yeah. Does she babysit?
I mean, if that's your reputation, I'm just going to say, I get the chaps. It's kind of like, you know, branding in a way for like what your deal
branding
is.
Branding like marketing, not branding. That's as what, in
yes,
chaps.
Yes.
Iron.
Right. Her name is Brandy as well.
No, weirdly, her name is branding. I don't, it doesn't make sense.
It's worth noting that the retail store Easily Swayed is next door to the place we got Swayze fries back in the early days of this podcast. Remember those?
So this top one is, this top picture is clearly just yards of fabric looped in like you're going to towel out of the bath.
Yeah.
Like looped in isn't the word, tucked in. When you tuck between your legs a piece of fabric, you're not really going anywhere in this. I mean, maybe she has tied it sarong style and I can't tell.
Well, look.
But it does
anticipate James Gum in Silence of the Lambs, which is 3 years off from this point. So there's a lot going on with skins here, and some of it is good and most of it is bad.
Third fashion feature is called All Dressed Up with a bunch of models, just like six or seven girls having a fancy party. They're just throwing a party just, you know, at her house slash museum slash place like where Confederates once gathered. That's what it looks like. And cute furniture, lots of books, and they're wearing their party best as they sit and sip and pout. And I'm into this. Whole spread. It's so cute. Kind of New Year's Eve, but not. No boys apparently invited. And that's also that makes it kind of cute.
On our first page, page 58, we are told Mariah is wearing an outrageous shirred black dress with ostrich feathers. Okay, thanks for telling us, because otherwise there's no way for us to know. I do agree what we can see of the looks. They're really cute, but lighting is a problem. Like, in terms of this being a fashion story as opposed to an art story, like
she may be getting attacked by a bear in that first photo.
You can't tell.
It's very super cute Adele, you guys. It's like Adele's hugging a Muppet.
Yeah.
This is the vibe. I don't need to see it because this is when you go out. This is all they're going to see when you wear it like Mariah and you tuck yourself up into a cute little ball and you just in this little fuzz bucket with some tights.
Other than that, I agree. This is a very, like, when you think of a sassy fashion story, this is what you imagine for all the reasons that you said. It's like the layout and the type and the fact that there are no guys like trying to do setups where they're like pretending to flirt or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's very pleasing and they all look like they are going out for a fun party. And most of these looks have aged quite well, I would say.
See, I think the story is they're all getting together and having this luxurious last night because one of them is like a super soldier or something like that or a spy. And they're going on the mission they don't expect to come back from. I'm guessing it's sure. Renee with the candelabra earrings for some reason.
They're like filled with poison.
Exactly.
You open each candle and pour the poison out into the ambassador's drink.
Yeah, it's like a binary agent. They're inert, but she mixes them together and it creates this sort of like a C4 explosive charge or something.
Right.
Anyways, yeah. Renee's now dead. The other one survived. And this is their last hurrah. That's the story of All Dressed Up.
This is why no boys are invited to this party.
Yeah, they've all completed their Black Widow training, and this is the graduation party.
Yeah, this is the golden bedroom.
No, I just meant rewriting the story to these hot chicks just killed people is why no boys are invited to this party.
These hot chicks just killed people sounds pretty good to me. I don't know. Don't include me in that.
All right, fine. But I like that it's got a very, I'm in a salon loungy mood where they have all finished reading a poem, I'm guessing.
Right.
And they're like meeting at the lobby to just like talk books all night.
Yeah, the books definitely give it a metropolitan kind of feel, as in the movie, the Whit Stillman movie. And the furniture sort of looks very old money, Upper East Side-y too.
See Mariah's like flopped hair. So they on the very last picture, they took her big giant bun and then they popped it into two Minnie Mouse ears. I can't do this. And this whole and then she's next to the then she's next to the girl who took her I finished a marathon jacket and turned it into her party skirt so that she could be like, it's from when I ran the marathon. That it's all of this is why I know I can't live in New York. I'm just not cool enough. I've never been this cool. I have never eaten chocolates off the tips of my fingers behind a candelabra while talking to my best friend who is wearing like a shoulderless like
never.
Leather top gown. No, first of all, I don't know that I've ever been near an active candelabra.
No, I don't think I have either.
An active candelabra.
I love that Steven Soderbergh movie.
That is the code word for the mission for go. Candelabra, you are active. Go, go, go.
Yeah. Yeah, because we had the good candles. You were never allowed to light them. That's the closest. We had an inactive.
Nobody goes there anymore. It's packed. Yeah. Uh-huh. We've got the good candles. You can't use them.
They were on the table. We put them on the table, but you never lit them because they matched the Falstaff set that my
fancy
mom had. They were
the
same
dinner
gray.
Table?
Yes, they were the fancy. Yes, we had those two next to the fancy towels. You just walked around my house, not ever touching things. And then my parents also weren't home.
First time over at Pam's house, you get the tour. Touch that, not that, not that, but that.
Yes.
No, yes, maybe. No, no maybes. Yeah. Yes or no. That's a no. That's a yes.
It's fun.
Hey, can I have some of these pickles? No, those aren't the eating pickles.
Those are the heirloom pickles.
Look at pickles.
Look at pickles. My favorite child's entertainment group, the Look at Pickles.
I lost my virginity at Look at Pickles.
Oh, boy. Boy, meant to pick up pickles.
So our what's next this month is sunflower power. And they're right. People are so into sunflowers. They're going to be everywhere. That's why we put them all over this chick. And you're like, this must be too many sunflowers. And then 1 month later, you will never stop seeing sunflowers.
It's true.
On everything.
Even though they cheated a little bit because they're kind of daisies on her blouse. But yeah, they have a sunflower pin on her hat, another dumb hat, and a sunflower purse. And so I got curious and I went and looked it up because I remembered Van Gogh's sunflowers painting selling for a record price like at some point when I was a kid. And sure enough, it was a year and a half before this. So from that to be like such a huge news sensation to then filter down to like accessible fashion, I thought, well, that seems like probably not a coincidence.
Yeah, probably every girl's mom had a calendar, a Van Gogh calendar that year.
She had blank note cards to send thank yous for sure. Yeah.
When did Blossom come out?
I think it's after this, but not much.
Yeah, not much. 1990. Yeah. So then there were the Doc Martens with the sunflowers. And then the next thing was probably just like all your baby doll dresses.
Yep. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You know those scenes in movies where they're running through cornfields? Mm-hmm. And what they don't show you is when they get out of the cornfield and they're just cut in 1,000 corn paper cuts. It's like that with sunflower, whatever, plants, stalks, whatever you're going to call them, except they're like, it's more like getting punched instead of getting sliced as you walk through them. I hate them.
Romance? It's dangerous, all-consuming, and incredible. When it's in my life, it is my life. Le Jardin de Max Factor is the fragrance that captures the essence of romance and leaves me vulnerable.
That's the perfect way to say essence, and I think it must have stuck in my head because that triggered something down my spine.
Spare hair, spare hair, spare,
spare, spare hair! Nobody said, Pam, I noticed you did your hair in spare hair style for today's podcast, and my feelings are hurt.
Sorry. The reason is I can't tell what anyone is doing with their hair in this story because what is this photography yet again?
Yeah.
Lighting is all blown out. This first one is fucking blurry. Like it's an action shot for this beauty story. This, all of this is completely insane.
Yeah, there's a name for this type of print. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's they actually did it. It's sort of like a tintype, cyan tintype. This looks like, I forget what it's called, but why they chose that particular look. Like, let's go back to the 1880s and take a picture of this 1988 girl's hair. It's weird choice.
Right. The point of a beauty story is replicate this yourself. And I mean, hats off to you, Pam, for being able to figure anything out in this.
Well, they do describe it. They do describe it pretty
right.
Well.
But in the third one, they're like, and then hold it with clips. Like, I can't see any clips. What are you talking about? If there are clips here, they're completely invisible to me.
I feel like this whole hair tutorial is like Zoom hair. There's no way to go wrong, which is why I think they're just like, just twist it, loose it, put it up, clip it.
Yeah.
It's fine. Your hair's fine. And so I appreciate it because they all do seem like just fucking do it and go.
Yeah.
I agree that, but the long and wavy one with like 100 flat clips seems like it's going to be more work than the rest of these things are pitching. That seems hard.
Yeah. Anything where the style is like, put it over your shoulder and then leave it there for the entire day. It's like, I have things to do. That's not practical. But I will say that the idea of here are some ways to style your hair that aren't big. definitely represents a cultural reset from like the big hair of the earlier 80s, where it was like a lot of perms, a lot of back combing, a lot of hairspray, just like enormous hairs.
Yeah, just like use your actual hair.
Yeah.
And it looks really pretty and a little wet, and like, you know, you got better things to do, and that's what makes you cool. Everybody knows chicks are cooler when their hair looks wet.
Oh, well, good, because my hair's wet right now.
I know. That's what I mean. You do your hair very like, oh, I just got here. I was doing stuff. I have a sassy subscription.
No, I do my hair very like, I'm not going anywhere for the foreseeable future, so who gives a shit? That's my aesthetic right now.
Well, I did want to say, I found Sweet Little Nothings Company on Etsy, and the clips are so cute that if you are a person who likes to flip it and clip it and then just move on, they make these little lucite barrettes. Anyway, I put the link in the show notes. It's been great. It's just been like, they kind of have like small banana clips, which is a perfect good clippy. And they haven't fallen out. This month's About Face has a fun fact about eyelashes. Ever notice that your eyelashes don't match? We're not kidding. They are thicker and longer on the side you sleep on least. So to balance them out, apply an extra coat of mascara on your, quote, weaker side. Well, and I didn't know that. And then it turns out all kinds of things happen when you sleep in different positions. You just tell me, I found a thing that was like the how you should sleep. And it's like, this is the best sleeping position unless you want to die. And then this is the best sleeping position unless you enjoy your heart beating. And then this is the best one, but that's going to fuck up your reproductive system. So just don't sleep. Then turns out your eyelashes have an optimal length. So there's something I can just obsess about.
Hmm. What is it?
They have, it's 3 feet.
Oh, that's good news for Dave, because that's how long his eyelashes are.
I can't breathe.
Dave has very long eyelashes. Not 3 feet, but
my eyelashes get so long, they used to curl onto themselves and poke me in the eye. Mm-hmm. So I did not enjoy that part of my childhood.
They get trapped under? Like
no,
they
curl. They actually like would curl. Like they would get long enough, they became naturally curly, and then would curl back and poke me in the eye.
You're the inspiration for cartoon mascara where they it like rolls up.
Yes. Yeah. So cracked nice feet and eyelashes that poked me in the eye. The David T. Cole is a child story. My body is trying to kill me. Colon. The David T. Cole story.
Oh, gams for days and lashes that'll blind you. Mm-hmm. They should be a third of the width of the eye. Mm. This ratio helps keep the eyes wet.
Okay. I'll work they have on a that. Reputation.
We are saying wet too much in this episode.
I mentioned before I'm not a translucent powder person, but I tried to be because I didn't know I wasn't one. And because I was never a shiny faced person. But this description of what to do with translucent powder for a shiny face seems clown school. Like speaking of the rodeo clown, like this is what she did to her face.
Yeah.
It says to apply a heavy coat of translucent powder all over your face, then wet a cotton ball, squeeze it out and well, which I guess is now a dry cotton ball, and then lightly pat your face with it. The moisture will set the powder and give it more staying power. That is truly caking on a thick layer of powder on top of your face, right?
Yeah, that was in the days before they had like setting spray, because I do use loose powder, but I like either after I'm done doing all of my makeup, do I just do like a quick spritz with like Evian, you know, Evian in the can, or there's like makeup setting spray that you can get where it's basically just like water with stuff in it and it makes your makeup stay and also not look so dry.
Oh, it's for a dewy look?
Yeah.
I thought it was like sticky stuff, like sticky tack. If hairspray,
like hairspray for your face.
For your face?
No, no, no. Yeah. It's just like, it's basically just water with, it probably has like micellar water or something in it.
I've been using it wrong.
Oh, no, it's Vaseline all over again. Pam's at home with the Aquanet just going to town all over her whole face.
Yeah.
Why are my eyelashes stuck together, Pam wonders?
I'm great to kiss.
I've never known this feeling. I love you.
Don't you love it when he says those words? Le Jardin d'Amour is the fragrance that inspires his love. I wear it, and he tells me everything I want to hear.
Getting us all hot and bothered, Dave, with these clips. Let's talk ads. We don't have a ton of new ads in this issue.
Yeah, but what we have makes up. What we have in quality makes up.
My goodness.
I agree.
This first one is one of my favorites, right up there with the wild must dumping in the backseat of his car.
So this is another, this is an instance where we're going to really urge you to go to the visual aids and see what we're talking about. This is an ad for Sasson jeans, the sign of the times. It features Jack Scalia, the star of Dallas, CBS, and the upcoming feature film Demon Hunters, really running the gamut in his career, old Jack here. But he's sitting on a motorcycle. He's not riding it. He's got one leg up, like just under the handlebars, showing off his cowboy boots, of course, which I'm sure have huge lifts in them, and then holding a jean jacket over his other shoulder. And the jeans have great big distressed holes in them. He's also in a tank top, a Sasson tank top, with the hand giving what is now a white power sign, apparently. And he is so tan. He is sitting in front of the fakest, like, southwestern sunset backdrop. And he's got, like, a moderate mullet. Not too crazy, but definitely the mullet of the day.
That's a renegade mullet.
Yes, it is. Yeah. He's squinting, like, looking very intense, slightly stubbled, but not too much where you'd be nervous about it. Showing off the guns. He's giving us two tickets to the gun show. It's just, it's so much. It's such a time capsule. I know we say that a lot, but this one, like, it really is something where this was cool for 50 people for 6 days.
None of them reading. 19... None of them reading this magazine.
No.
If you covered up like the last quarter of this ad, it would be like a TV advertisement for all those syndicated shows that are just like macho dude doing something cool. Yes. He's a bounty hunter. He rides a bike. It's like Knight Rider, but different. Mm-hmm. And then it's like that show. And this is you know, Lorenzo, whatever his name is. It's like, it's all that sort of take on things.
Yes.
It is not a 12 to 16 year old girl vibe. It is a blossoming into neckbeardhood guy vibe.
Yeah, or like divorced 39 year old lady.
Yeah.
Who's
yeah,
who picks up her daughter Sassy?
Right, but she can't. Like, oh. Yes, this belongs in like Red Book. This is not for Sassy. Dave is absolutely right. But this is something where if you flip through it, you'd be like drinking your white wine. Ooh, Jack Scalia, star of Dallas, CBS. I got to check out that Demon Hunters and see if I can see his butt. That's the only thing not showing in this jeans ad, which like it's for jeans. Show a butt. But anyway,
I will say that older babysitters, this is exactly the kind of thing that they'd be talking about this stuff because this is what they talk about with moms. Mm. I didn't see Jack's name when I first opened it up. So I thought before I saw the Sasson, it was an ad for musk, leather man smell. My favorite part of this picture are the distressed jeans that are just perfect squares. And then his muscle line cut through. It's so brushed and painted. He's so perfect.
Yeah.
But it does remind me of like, oh, older babysitters who know how sex works know about these shows.
Right.
And they watch them.
He's a lot of man. He's a lot of beefcake right here.
Yes. On page 13, we have an ad for Jordache Basics. That was like shock therapy. I don't know if you saw me react to that. Because I was about to say this picture is my current sexuality. And as I went to say this is hot, you shocked the word no into my ears and my heart jumped. And now I'm going to be a virgin for another 4 years. Anyway, this is a sexy picture.
Yeah, they're also on a motorcycle, looking cute.
My new tennis partner's coming over.
Great.
So?
In his new Porsche.
Let's go! I want to go to Hollywood. I want to be a star. I want to be in movies. I want to drive a Porsche. I want to buy a mansion. I want to
Introducing Caboodles.
It's for you!
On page 20, we have an ad for Caboodles. I never had a Caboodle.
No.
I wanted a Caboodle, but I didn't have makeup.
Yeah.
So there was no point. Cool girls had Caboodles. They were these tackle boxes that you would open up. They're super cute in plastic and pink and purple, and you put all your shit in them. This is what cheerleaders and dance brigade had. They all had Caboodles. Mm-hmm. And again, babysitters. They still make Caboodles, and they make retro ones. So if you'd like to fulfill a dream, you can get them. But they also make now ones and Disney ones and all that stuff. But it turns out the reason it looks like a tackle box is because they were inspired by Vanna White, like a picture of her in a makeup trailer. And she was using a tackle box for her makeup. Yeah, she said, you know, I used to go fishing with my dad. You know, this one didn't have fish in it, but it's very helpful. And she didn't know that that is how Caboodles got started. I feel like that even if they're going to advertise it that way, she should get some money.
Yeah, I don't disagree. They're also sort of reminiscent of, they're definitely more tackle boxy, especially the portable aspect, but like the sewing kits that you would get were the, with like trays that would fold out like this horizontally, same sort of thing. But I still don't have enough makeup to fill up this thing. Looking at this picture, this is more makeup than I not only ever use, but than I own right now. It's a lot.
You don't put makeup on for funsies, like for play?
For play? Sorry. What are you talking about?
How old are you, Pam?
Like just to be at home? No. No.
Like, yeah, like playing around. Like, oh, no. I wonder what'll happen if I...
I certainly don't. I am way too lazy. I say that without judgment. That's only judging me. I'm too lazy to do any of that sort of thing. I barely can get it together, like, when I'm going to be meeting a stranger on a Zoom or, like, out.
Well, in that Good Morning America link, you can see the original picture of Vanna in her makeup outfit wearing yellow high-top Reeboks, gray leggings, white socks, and a yellow USA sweatshirt. And her poof is amazing, y'all. Yep. It is. Some Texas.
Speaking of big hair, she had it.
On pages 69 to 77, we have a giant Good Sense Sassy's Fragrance Guide to Trying It, Buying It, Wearing It, Sharing It, explaining the concept of perfume. It takes so many pages because there are also some ads for perfume. I mean, just surprisingly, the word sassy stamped in here as if it's going to be catered to each magazine. And you can tell that this one is sassy because at some point they describe something as Groovox. So they do definitely make sure the ad goes through the magazine. It begins with like explaining to you what fragrance is. And that's my favorite part. It's just like, fragrance is something you smell. But Dave, I wanted to know what your fragrance type is.
Farting.
So here we go. Dave.
I mean, by definition, that is a fragrance.
That's true.
That's my answer.
It says.
Let's give you the quiz.
Okay.
It's fine. All I'm right, used hey, to
do
this.
It. Let's
this
do
is
it.
The way that Starlog Jam takes.
Let's go. I'm ready.
What are your favorite colors? A, pastels. B, tangerine, lemon, yellow, lime, green. C, blues and greens, earth tones like olive and rust. D, deep purples and reds, black. Or E, the rainbow.
Earth tones.
Number two, where would you rather be? A, in a rose garden, B, in an orange grove, C, on a grassy hill, D, in a mossy woods, or E, flying over the city.
I guess a grassy hill out of those choices.
Over an orange grove? You're crazy.
Yeah, but like, like, you know, it doesn't smell great because the oranges are like safely ensconced in their orange peels. And then the ground is all just dirt and shit. So you can't like sit anywhere. You have to like pick oranges. That's the only thing to do. Mm. I thought about it.
Number three. Your idea of a great date? A, a candlelit dinner. B, bleachers at a ball game. C, a picnic in the park. D, trying a new exotic new restaurant. Or E, an art opening.
Boy, none of the above.
Those are all terrible options.
I mean, Tara, you want to take this one? You want to like dictate which of these terrible choices you want to do on our date?
If these were the only ones
so sweet.
That I had...
I mean, keep in mind, if we go to an art gallery, we can just, like, walk really quickly through it, and we're probably downtown.
Yeah.
Then we could do something else.
Yeah, exotic new restaurant is nervous-making, but perhaps it's just an exotic new macaroni and cheese restaurant, like Smack in New York. So that's what I'm going to pick.
Okay.
Okay.
There's your answer.
And number, the final question, your favorite What's wrong with number your final question?
Number your final question. Yep. I love
you
it.
You know where we are. Yes. You know exactly where we are. Your favorite refresher, A, tea with milk and honey, B, lemonade, C, mint tea, D, coffee with cinnamon, or E, seltzer.
Why are two of these tea?
One is mint.
I understand. I'm just saying, diversify.
Lemonade, I guess.
Lemonade. Okay, Dave, you are mostly, well, you answered two C's, a D, and a B. So you are mostly a green type. You're earthy and refreshing. So when you want some scents, you're going to think of a cool, clean smell of just cut grass. And that's how you know what a green scent is. Green scents include mint, pine, and herbs. You really can't go wrong with green fragrances. They work anytime, anywhere. Some greens are Fifth Avenue by Avon, Charlie by Revlon,
Pine Sol by Procter & Gamble,
and Windsong Breezy by Prince Machiavelli. And Windsong Breezy sounds like something that would be number one right now. So Windsong Breezy by Prince Machiavelli sounds like something where I'm like, is that a Doja Cat?
Really? It sounds like Michael McDonald to me.
Windsong Breezy. And then
that's
it's when you're
rock
like.
Title if I ever heard one.
Yeah, I guess it could be. It's Tara, the Prince Machiavelli.
Well, how'd that go?
Oh, the weird song's really breezy. Stand up on the deck and let the wind blow through your hair and your hat.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. It's yacht rock. It really goes on. There's a section called common scents. Now that you know your fragrance type, it's time to choose some scents that work for you. Don't freak out. It's easy. Best way to start? Get nosy. Hang around fragrance counters at drug and department stores. Yeah, everybody loves when a teenager does that. Poke around, ask lots of questions, and sniff, sniff, sniff. Here are some tips. And then it says, don't go shopping right after you've had garlic or onions. You won't be able to smell things. And then ask people, spray stuff into the air, spray stuff on your wrist, spray, spray, spray all over the place and sniff. Then it says, need hair clips, underwear, a new pair of earrings? This is a good time to get them. While you shop, pay attention to how the fragrances smell on your skin. Come back in 20 minutes, try some others higher up on your arm, and then call it quits for the day. After four samplings, you'll be having nose overload. Then it says, just take some home and put them all over your house.
Yeah.
But anyway, at the end, it says, please yourself. Or maybe it's please yourself. Mm-hmm. Please yourself. Don't buy a fragrance because your best friend wears it or your boyfriend likes it. Remember, it'll smell different on you anyway, and you're the one who will be wearing it.
That's true.
There's also a whole section on fragrance facts. And it says, believe it or not, wearing fragrance is not a new idea. It's been a cool thing to do for about 4,000 years. Of course, things were kind of different back then. The Egyptians, for example, liked to wear fragrance on top of their heads. No joke, in the form of scented cones of animal fat. The original cone heads? Yeah, I can't believe you guys didn't read all of this. Then there's a fragrance Q&A. Some answers to your most often asked questions, like, what if I put too much on? What happens if I like mix two perfumes? I can't believe this is more information than I've ever seen for sex or birth control or periods.
Yeah, you know why? Because the fragrance advertisers paid for it. They have a lot of money to try and teach you about scent.
There is a phrase here which does not make any sense. In one of the fragrant facts, ancient Muslims. There were no ancient Muslims, just like there were no ancient Christians. They're relatively recent development here on Earth. Mm-hmm. Way to go, fragrance companies.
Boo. The only one of these ads that I wanted to highlight was on page 75 for Windsong from the aforementioned Prince Machiavelli, because these ads were on TV for 1,000 years, and I still remember this jingle. I can't seem to forget her. Her Windsong stays on my mind.
Yeah. Anyway. It was the slowest thing in commercials. Yeah. It was that. 800-588-2300 Empire. Mm-hmm. The two slow jams of our childhood.
But the billowy sheer curtains in this ad really give you the vibe. And then he's like holding the letter and smelling it like a creep. That's Windsong. It's so breezy. It's great on page 79. It was a real feature of hair product advertisements in this era that you would see ahead upside down, so it would give you an idea of how much volume you would get from the product.
But the photo is, yeah, of that, except along the top, you know, in order to have a background for their product photos and mm-hmm. captions and branding, it kind of looks like a hydraulic press is coming in and crushing her.
Yes, it does.
It looks some sort of like Star Wars trash compactor scenario here.
Yeah.
I'll explain it to you later, Pam.
But she's also wearing the same like crop top and skirt set with the paillettes that was in the party fashion story earlier.
That's right. That's right.
But the real showstopper in this ad are these fucking ugly boots.
Yeah.
They are black boots. They look like they're suede. And then they are appliqued with the logos.
Festooned,
you might say. With the logos of various fashion magazines, Cosmopolitan, Bazaar, Marie Claire, W, Vogue, Grazia, that was a rare one, and Elle. And they are so ugly, and yet I know they must have sold like crazy because there's a certain kind of person that sees them and is like, that's the Fashion Times fashion. It's fashion squared. I must have them so everyone knows I'm a fashionista. And then on the very next page, page 80, we got Santa's hands and his distinctive classic red leather gloves, making a list and checking it twice. All the people you can give a Ms. Magazine subscription to this Christmas.
Point of order.
Yes.
I believe that's Mrs. Claus making that list.
Yeah, those are some lady hands. Yeah.
All right. You're right.
Those are some isotoner style gloves.
You're right.
With lovely manicure.
Is this a sassy gift idea or what? It is. But this really took me back because Ms., if you know anything about magazine history and are not, or if you're not a nerd like me, it went through very many iterations where there were times when it was trying to be like a standard ad-supported, you know, for-profit publication, and other times where they were just like, well, there's a foundation and, you know, it's just basically not a charity exactly, but not a profit-making enterprise. And this was clearly from the phase when they were trying to be more mass market, because I believe this month Oprah was on the cover of Ms. Like, it was definitely more mainstream than it got to be later on. But yeah, the giving them this space, since they were both at this time published by the same company, is very nice and underscores what Sassy was about at the time. And this may be the very last time we see any kind of Ms. content in this, because after this they got scared by all the crazy wackos that were mad about all their content, and any advertising for Ms., those hairy leg lesbians, would have probably fallen into that. I'm speaking for the character. This is not how I think of the staff as Ms., but you know.
I have a question about North Pole stationery.
Yeah.
So in this advertisement, Mrs. Claus is doing this list, and it's on that sort of, you know, it's on old parchment with the darkened edges as if they've been in, you know, a fire or something like that. Your typical mm-hmm. ye old parchment. It takes you back. I think everybody had to do it in school where you had to like create a fake old document. And you had mm-hmm. to figure out how to make a piece of paper that you would just have around the house look old. So you would like soak it in tea, and then you get your parents to like control burn the edges after you rolled it up. And then hopefully after that, you would have something that looked like old parchment mm-hmm. like this. But don't you think that the North Pole manufacturing base for all toys on Earth would also have the means to which to make just paper whenever they wanted to, and wouldn't have to depend on old stock to make their lists and whatnot? Because this is an internal document, so it doesn't have to be on brand, right? It's sort of like the equivalent of something that you stick in one of those interdepartment envelopes and wind up the red string around those two things, and then you send it over to Mrs. Claus for sign-off, and she would give it to you. So I'm just wondering, like, why is this on parchment? Doesn't make any sense to the Claus industry scenario.
It's obviously a magical pencil. It can write in at least four different fonts, as we can see.
Yeah, why is the parchment so old and fancy, but she's just fucking writing with a number two pencil? Something doesn't add up. Something is rotten at the North Pole. We're through the looking glass here, people. It's Christmas time in Sassy Club. Christmas time in Sassy Club. And also on the third page, a bunch of hippie stuff. for some reason. Merry Christmas, especially you, Mrs. Claus, with your parchment. All right. What are we buying this month from Sassy Club? Now, apparently they overstocked on all their hippie shit from a couple issues ago because it's two pages of Christmas stuff and then one page after that of tie-dyes and whatnots.
I'm going to spend $12 on the inflatable Christmas tree because I love Christmas. As Dave knows, I kept our Christmas tree up this year until like mid-January. And I would get this now and put it in my office. I think it's dumb and cute.
I really thought you were going to grab the desktop refrigerator with just like me. It's got a, you guys, it's got a pineapple stapler, egg erasers, and other handy non-edible, okay, so you knew that, desk essentials in pink or white. It's $20. It's tiny little desk refrigerator. It's a little retro fridge and you open it up and it's full of supply food.
Yeah, that's what I would have wanted at the time.
I realized I actually never gave an answer. So if I had to buy something, I think I would go with the Christmas stocking that looks like a red Converse sneaker with the white and black striped socks.
Yep.
Kind of nice.
Yeah,
I mean, I
cute.
Wouldn't put it up, but if I had to like do one thing, that would be.
I like it.
Surprisingly kitschy answers from both of you. Say what? This month, I have to stand corrected on two letters here. First, we have Kev's not so sweet. Kevin Dillon's sweet? I don't think so. In your article about him, September, Christina said that he was a sweet, well-mannered small-town boy. Wrong. His new movie, War Party, was filmed in my town, and he walked around town like he was better than everyone. And when I asked him for his autograph, he gave me a dirty look, mumbled something, and took the paper out of my hand and scribbled his name, Jolene.
Sounds like he still got the autograph. Like he could have told you to fuck off and been within his rights, not to take his side.
Yeah, maybe he mumbled, "This is my hotel room." I don't know what he mumbled. How did you get in here? She is leaving out some facts.
Mm-hmm.
But he was walking around town like he was better than everybody.
We also get some responses to the living with racism story from September. One that was very positive from a girl who is Black. She identifies herself in the letter and is like, I appreciate that you shone a light on this. I wish the photos weren't so gloomy. Good point. But then we also get a letter from Dawn in Houston, who is a little bit angry. I read your article. I feel that it is incomplete. You interviewed a Black and first of all, I'm just quoting so that everyone knows. Yeah. You interviewed a Black, an Asian, and a Hispanic and asked them about their experiences with racism, stereotypes, and generalizations. You didn't bother to interview a white person. Being white and living in a predominantly Black neighborhood, I have experienced racism, stereotypes, and generalizations my whole life. White people are also victims of racism. Don, I'm sure you think that. I hope you don't still think that to this day, but you don't experience racism as a white person. Stereotypes and generalizations, maybe. All people are victims of white supremacy, not in the same ways, and that is not what White Dawn from Houston means in this letter. Yikes.
White Dawn? Isn't that one of the terrorist organizations from Die Hard?
Yeah, it was the first PG-13 movie. First,
no, it's one of the Prince Machiavelli fragrances. White Dawn.
I can't seem to
grassy.
Forget you. Your racist ass stays all by mine. We also have Sorry, Gina. So Christina, this is a letter from Raina from the Bronx. Christina Kelly has always been my favorite, but I have to express my opinion about a paragraph she wrote about Peter DeLuise and his fiance, Gina Nemo. Gina answered a fan letter I wrote her, and we've turned out to be friends. She has written me constantly, called me, and has offered me great guidance in my acting career. She's the sweetest, most caring person I know, and nothing like her loud and obnoxious character, which should prove what an actress she is. Peter is one lucky guy. And I would like to say, Peter DeLuise, you could have had Gina answer my fan mail. Obviously, she's a good correspondent and understands what I was looking for when I asked some pretty vulnerable questions about being lonely and feeling like you were the one in the group that maybe people made fun of. But I see I hit a little too close to the bone when I asked about weight loss tips and maybe you didn't know how to respond to me because I was a little too much. But look what Raina got. Look what Raina got. I should have written to Gina.
I had the totally opposite perspective on this letter because I never did write a fan letter to Peter DeLuise. But, like, she has written me constantly, called me? What is Gina grooming Raina for is what I would like to know, because this sounds very inappropriate.
I just think Raina might have a different definition of constantly than
is
Gina
the
does.
Implication here.
Implication here that we are to believe anything Raina has said.
Fair.
Gina Nemo writes me constantly. She's really giving me great advice in my acting career. No. No, Raina needs Gina to write her a letter of recommendation for something.
And finally, Inside Out. You remember in our Teen Life episode, we talked about the article about fighting between sisters that seemed to mostly be sourced from Elizabeth and the many, many, sometimes violent fights she has had with her sisters. Here they are in the inside back cover, proving that they do get along, smiling side by side, except, as the caption says, Robin, with two B's, did not want to smile for the photo initially, so Elizabeth pinched her until she did. So maybe things are not so great for these two. However, I've never felt so close to Elizabeth as when I saw her in this Breton striped top, which I have 500 of.
Also sporting dry hair that looks a little wet, like a real sassy lady.
Yep. Yeah.
Robin, with two B's, this ribbon with one, feels whatever your life struggle has been anytime you've tried to get a reservation or your name on something.
Indeed. Next time, we'll be sharing our results from the November 1988 quiz, Are You a Perfectionist? Oh boy. And playing your latest voicemails in our Slumber Party episode. My plug this week, I wrote about a guy graduating from college, following three separate paths. Which way does it go? This is all happening in Ordinary Joe, the new Sliding Doors / This Is Us drama on NBC starring James Wolk. I wrote about it at Decider, and you can find that link in the show notes.
Get your chaps on and call us at our sassy hotline. That's 720-SASSY-GO. Yeah! Leave us a voicemail. Tell us how if your butt got cut out of something, and we may play it on a future episode. Please give us a call at 720-SASSY-GO. You can find visual aids for all our episodes and this contact info for us in case you weren't writing it down because you don't have pencils at listentosassy.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. And now, I'm going to be a virgin for another 4 years.